Welcome to another edition of The List, a Write Fiction podcast. We've got an amazing show for you all today about our favorite Christmas albums. Before we get started, if you love the pod, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on your listening app. It helps us reach new listeners like you. Also, be sure to check out our companion Spotify playlist with all our picks that we mentioned in the pod. The link is in the show details. Now, on to the show. It's Christmas time, my favorite time of the year. You have that feeling of family and love. That nice winter chill is in the air. Cinnamon and nutmeg are flowing like wine. All of your favorite Christmas movies are on TV. And of course, while you are baking or eating your holiday cookies, you are listening to your favorite Christmas music. A lot of folks start listening to Christmas music in late December. Not I. I start in September. I just love Christmas music, and to my surprise, the rest of the guys on the pod love it as well. So that is why this is a very, very, very special episode of The List, the Write Fiction podcast, because today, Adam, Brendan, Freddie, and I are going all in on our favorite Christmas albums. We want to give you all the best music to listen to this holiday season, so this is a can't-miss episode. So hang out with us for a bit. And let the nutmeg wash over you and enjoy the show. Guys, we're here. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time, guys.
Woo!
The best time of year.
Jingle.
We're going to give our favorite. Come on. Give me some more. Give me some more juice tonight. It's Christmas
yeah!
time, guys.
Woo-hoo!
What are you talking about?
Huzzah.
Yes. Enthusiasm.
Come on. This is the time of year when you. Just empty the bank
account, guys.
The bank account. And
well, you're the one that has to edit this if you want us to scream.
Yeah, scream it out. Adam, we are going to start with you, man. What is your number three favorite Christmas album of all time, man?
All right. Well, to preface all of this is like a lot of us here are a vinyl junkie. And when I decorate the tree with my family, I spend Christmas vinyl. And that's why my picks are all vinyl. But number three is one I just actually recently, maybe as of last year, I inherited this record. It's the Carpenters Christmas Portrait from the 1978. And I inherit, like, you know, from parents, friends, I get albums and stuff, and I get this and I'm like, oh, okay, here's the Carpenters' take on Christmas songs. And I pop it on and it's just like this really ornate, traditional, old school thing. And it just blew me away. There's an honorable mention I'll mention later that it bumped out, but this is now my ornate traditional one that I put on. It's just fantastic. Carpenters, number three.
That is a wonderful album. I really enjoy that album. I revisited the whole album. Usually at Christmas time, you listen to just one song or, you know, two songs, but the whole album is such a treat.
It's just really well done.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with my number three album of the year. Not of the year. Number three favorite Christmas album. And it is called The Christmas Song. It's 1962, Nat King Cole.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your...
And this is a kind of a little bit of a reissue of an album called The Magic of Christmas by Nat King Cole, released in 1960. But the one that I included had the Christmas song. The Christmas song. The Christmas song on it. And I just had to include this album just because of that one song. And it's maybe the best Christmas song ever. So that's my number three favorite album. And then the rest of, like I just say, the rest of the album is just gives you that warm blanket, and you have the, you know, the cinnamon in your tea, and you're just doing it. So that's my number three favorite Christmas album. Brendan, give it to us.
Aaron, thank you. Thank you. I am getting all the warm fuzzies already. So I'm going to start my list with A Party. My number three pick, I'm going A Soulful Christmas with Mr. James Brown. And for me, this is what I put on. I have it on vinyl. I put it on when I have to wrap gifts because I hate wrapping gifts. And this gets me moving around and engaged with that process. It makes it not so bad. It is like the spoonful of sugar that I need to put the medicine down. So it's a great record. It starts off with Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto, which is so awesome. And then towards the end, you've got some really, like, it's got depth to it. You think it's like a standard James Brown record that's just going to be pumping at the same tempo the whole way through, but it's got a lot of depth. Let's Unite the Whole World for Christmas, all sorts of stuff, man. It's just it's a lot of fun. So I think it's a great record, and that's why it's my number three.
Nice. We'll return to that one. Freddie, what is your number three favorite Christmas album?
My number three also has the Christmas song on it, but as sung by Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan made a Christmas album in 2009 called Christmas in the Heart. And he used his live band for the most part in the studio, and he sings these songs pretty straight. I don't know if you guys checked it out at all, but
yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
He actually vocally sounds pretty good.
I wouldn't go that far, but he does sing them straight, though. He does sing them straight.
It's my number three. You're making me choke. I mean, just to hear Dylan sing Christmas songs, it's worth the price of admission. So, yes, number three, Bob Dylan's 2009 album, Christmas in the Heart.
Okay. All right. So we go back up to you, Adam. Adam, your number two favorite Christmas album of the year. Come on. Bring the fuzzies and the warmies and the buzzies.
That's the calm. Yeah. My number two. My number two is this is my top two here. There's the more fun jump around ones, and this one is from 1964. It's the Beach Boys Christmas album. I mean, like, you know, you got like Little Saint Nick on there and a few more other, like, you know, ones they did, and they did other traditional. It's just, it's the Beach Boys at their kind of their peak, really. And just it's fun. It's happy. It makes me think of like ornaments on palm trees. It's a, you know, it's a nice shift from the traditional Carpenters one. You know, it's nice having variety in the Christmas playlist, and Beach Boys fit the bill there for me. Number two.
Nice. Very nice pick. So it's my turn here. My number two favorite Christmas album. And so I'm actually going with, I guess, a more recent one. Released in 2003, and it's by Harry Connick Jr., and it's called Harry for the Holidays. Heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah, hallelujah. On the cover, he's looking very sultry, sexy, sitting on some sort of red box.
Yeah,
it's very sultry. That's not why I chose this album, though.
you're really explaining that cover.
And yet, the first thing you bring up.
Well, it just kind of gives you that sultry. If you think of Harry Connick Jr., it kind of like puts you in that, like, okay, this is kind of like in a little bit adulty kind of thing.
Yeah, Holiday Martini.
Holiday Martini. That's totally.
Yeah.
Anyways, the album is stupendous. You know, one of the track that really got me is a track called Silent Night. It's a song called Silent Night.
You ever heard this song? Hey, have you heard this one?
I've heard of it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's called Silent Night. The way he does it is just so good. It's just like there's a little trumpet solo, and he kind of brings it like, it's just like it's just so cool and rocking and laid back, but also so vibing. So that's my number two favorite Christmas album of all time. And I'll kick it to you, Brendan. What's yours?
My number two, now for something completely different, I went with the National Treasure of Ireland, The Bells of Dublin by the Chieftains. Mixed up with that drink made from girders, 'cause it's all we got left as they draw their last breath out. It's nice for the kids. And I think this is a great record. It's got a lot of really traditional stuff on there. This makes me feel like almost like I'm going to church, because I don't tend to go to church around Christmas time or any other time. But this is like kind of puts me in that channel. And something about the bells and the pipes and the singing, it's just really joyous for me. And I think it's great all the way through. It's just a really a beautiful melding of Christmas music with Irish folk.
Couldn't agree more.
Right on.
That is very, very stellar record. Adam. I mean, no, sorry.
No, not me.
Sorry.
Yeah. Just keep you
ready.
Yes.
Freddie.
Yes.
You're number two. Your number two
my
Christmas
number two.
Album of all time.
My number two.
Which, oh man, it hurts my heart, but go ahead.
What hurts your heart?
That's number two.
The one that I'm about to talk about?
Yes.
All right. Well, it might even hurt your heart more when I tell you why. My number two pick is A Charlie Brown Christmas. And the reason I picked this album, obviously the playing is great, you know, jazz versions, a piano trio, but this album reminds me of my dearly departed friend, Lee Schusterman, the late great Lee Schusterman. He would play these songs all year round.
Yeah.
That's how much he loved this music. But you can count on right around, starting around Thanksgiving, if you ran into him at the Dawson and he had his piano with him, he was going to play something from this record. Usually, I think skating was one of his favorites to play. But it's just, you know, the music, it's, you just put it on, leave it in the background, smell the nutmeg, and go about your business. Number two, Vince Guaraldi. A Charlie Brown Christmas.
No, my issue is that it's not number one. That's my issue.
Oh.
Ooh,
my issue is not number one. But
wow.
That's we'll say that one.
Yeah.
Adam, back to you, man. This is it. This is you're gonna help people, you're gonna make or break Christmas right here.
For so many
families out there.
I ain't breaking nobody's Christmas, all right?
Your number one favorite Christmas album of all time. Go for it.
This one was a nice find at the Philly Record Exchange for just a mere couple of dollars. And the Jacksons Christmas album circa 1970. And I think why I had to pick this as my number one is that you have like the best sounding kid of all time singing Christmas songs. Like, it's just awesome. He kills it. I mean, the Santa Claus is coming to town is just out of sight, just blows the roof off. I did hear Imani when years ago when York Street was doing it. I think she sang.
Yeah, she kills it.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and I think that drew me to the Jacksons album even more. Imani's just killing it of that. But I don't know. This one's just ton of fun. It's tons of fun. This is one I put on early in the decorating to get, you know, trying to get the lights through, because the lights are, you know, kind of a slog. It's the least fun part is doing the lights. So I'm like, give me something peppy. And yeah, Jackson's number one.
Wow, that's a great pick, man. That's a great pick. I'm going to see your pick and raise you a Stevie Wonder for my number one favorite album pick.
Fair.
Stevie Wonder. It's like the 20th Century Masters thingy. It's actually called Someday at Christmas. And it was released in 1967, all the original tracks.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December.
And this album is just the best. It has Someday at Christmas, you know, Christmas song, What Christmas Means to Me. Come on. And then my personal favorite on this album, Ave Maria. I know all the words, guys. All the words. So that's my number one favorite Christmas album of all time. Stevie Wonder, Christmas. Brendan, back to you, buddy.
Okay. My number one. And if nothing else, Christmas always makes me feel kind of nostalgic. So my number one is certainly a reflection of that. This reminds me of my childhood. I went with A Very Special Christmas, Volume 2. And for those who don't know, I think they're still making these, but the original, the early ones for me are the best. And this, The Very Special Christmas, probably one of the nicest things that Jimmy Iovine ever did. One of the kindest things he ever did. He was one of the spearheaded producers of this one. It was a fundraiser for the Special Olympics. The artwork is very iconic by Keith Haring. And they're all compilations of various artists doing Christmas music. And some of the heaviest of the heavyweights are on here. And for my money, the best modern day Christmas song, as far as like an original composition, Christmas All Over Again by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Great Christmas song. It's a lot of fun. It sounds like Tom Petty doing Christmas music, but in his own way. But you've got so much more. You also have The Christmas Song. Luther Vandross does that. There's the Sinatra-Cyndi Lauper duet. There's Boys to Men. There's Aretha's on there doing No Christmas Tree, in which she goes bilingual on it. It's just got something for everybody. It's incredible. So that is my number
including,
one.
Including Michael Bolton.
Yeah, that one I tend to skip over.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
There you go.
But hey, 19 tracks and one you skip, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Very good, very good. Freddie, you're closing it down. What's your number one favorite Christmas album of all time?
A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector. Which, you know, I really wasn't aware of this album until when I was working at Disc Makers, we were manufacturing these box sets. I think it was called Back to Mono. It was a box set of vinyl of a retrospective of all of Phil Spector's career before he got locked up. And this was a bonus record inside the box. And I put it on and I was like, holy cow, The Wrecking Crew, Say No More. Every track is swinging. You know the Springsteen version of Frosty the Snowman?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. That's where they took it from. This is right. The original. The Ronettes singing Frosty the Snowman. Santa Claus is coming to town. Not Frosty the Snowman. The Crystals singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Ronettes, Frosty the Snowman, Darlene Love, Winter Wonderland. It's incredible. Yeah. On and on and on.
That gave her like a career-long gig.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. I mean, all the classics. But it's basically Darlene Love, the Ronettes, Crystals. Darlene Love, Ronettes, Crystal.
And Phil Spector.
What's that?
And Phil Spector is a wall of sound.
Yes, exactly. So that's my number one.
All great picks, guys. We have some discussion coming up. I have some points to make with certain people. And we'll come back after a short break with some more discussion. Hold on. Back. And so we have a ton of great picks and a ton of great music to talk about. But the first one I want to talk about is, Adam, is your number three pick, the A Christmas Portrait, 1978, The Carpenters. And the reason I would like to talk about this is, you know, I gave this a really good listening to on our Spotify playlist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're listening to it on just the radio, they play a couple of songs and you don't really get the feel of the whole entire album. And there's really some it's a low key hip album. There's like some really interesting musical things happening throughout the album. Do you listen to it? Do you hear some of those like interesting musical things beyond just like the straightness that you would hear on the radio?
Oh yeah, yeah. It is almost a conceptual Christmas album
with that overture. That's nice.
Yeah. And really, I say when I initially, a family friend got a whole bunch of albums and, you know, I mean, I probably have 7 or 8 Christmas vinyl. I'm not like over the top with it because I try to keep a good rotation, but I picked it. I never, you know, aside from some of the radio stuff, I pick it up. I'm like, I was like, okay, you know, I like Karen Carpenter's voice. This will be kind of an interesting, and I pop it on. I'm just like, they just went above and beyond with the production on it. And it just like, and it threw me, and it's like I kind of stopped what I was doing and kind of just sat down and listened to the album. And it's just, it wouldn't have. I mean, saying I've only known the album in its entirety for a year. I would have had a different number three if we did this a year ago. But I'm just, right. It's a great. It's just a lot. You know, I didn't think the Carpenters had that level of depth. I think maybe that's
what it was. It's very rich. Yeah. It's very. I mean, like the harmonies are like crazy good. And then, so there's also the one specific point that I made a point to bring up is Merry Christmas, Darling. At the end is so good. Like with the harmonies, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Darling. It's just so rich. The one thing that isn't rich about this album is in that one song, Sleigh Ride. I listen to it and every time I hear it, I feel like I'm listening to Kermit the Frog. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, a little bit there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time he sings, Kermit the Frog pops in my head.
I have an issue with this song in general. I mean, that version doesn't do it any favors, but I feel like the song is at its best as an instrumental. Every lyrical version of Sleigh Ride I've ever heard, I'm just not loving. The Phil Spector Christmas Gift, like I love that record too, but the Sleigh Ride is not my favorite.
It's just a bunch of syllables, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. That's why it belongs as an instrumental. I think it started out life that way.
Well, it's fast too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's hard to fit in all those words. Yeah. One thing that I'm thinking about this Carpenters album is it might be the Wrecking Crew playing on that too.
Oh, I didn't even check the. Yeah, I should.
Yeah, because I know that Hal Blaine was the drummer of record on most of the Carp, even though Karen was a killer drummer. A lot of people don't realize that she could really play. Yeah. Like she could play. Very good. You know, but Hal Blaine, you know, maybe was her teacher. Who knows? But I'm thinking maybe it. I'm looking at the Wikipedia article. It doesn't show.
It just shows the writers.
Just the writers, yep. So, but I'm thinking maybe it's that crew. Just an aside.
Yeah. Something to look up.
So switching gears a little bit to talk about another album that was just completely new to me and that I thoroughly enjoyed. And now it's definitely making my top 10 list in the future is Brendan's, your album, The Bells of Dublin, The Chieftains. That was incredible. I listened to this thing like 5 times through.
Nice.
And it was so good. Every time was just incredible. Like, I just felt like I was in my homeland of Ireland, walking around doing what the people of Ireland do.
Aaron O'Brown.
And it was just, it's weird. I picture myself there, and I don't know. I've gone to the Commodore Barry Club, and when I go in there, it's just like you're going into Ireland, like when those big celebration things happen, and that's what it made me feel like listening to this album. And specifically, there was like one point on St. Stephen's Day Murder, which is one of the songs on the album. They hit one of the chords in the verses that is just so great. Musically, the whole thing is amazing.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more. So are you Irish, Brennan?
I supposedly have a lot of Irish heritage in my family lineage, yes.
Does this harken back to your Irish roots?
It's so funny, man. Like, I just don't have any strong feelings of nationalism towards any other country because I was born here. So I'm just not one of those.
So that's people. A no. That's a no.
That's a no, but a lot of my family is, so maybe there's a certain amount of just, again, nostalgia and just all of the warm feelings of Christmas when I put this record on.
Right on.
And have you kind of heard of this before putting it on the playlist, Freddie or Adam?
Yeah, periphery.
I've heard some of the songs. I like that song, The Rebel Jesus. It's a great tune.
Yeah. There's a lot of great songs on there.
Yep.
The Champions are great, man. As I said, they're a real treasure. Like, I think that they carry the torch of Irish folk music really well. And they love collaborating too. So there's a lot of records that they've worked on with very well-known artists where the Chieftains just sort of pop up, and it's cool. I mean, those instruments are very specific to that genre, but it's amazing how well they can blend with other genres of music.
Totally.
Right. Switching gears again, going to Christmas in the Heart, Bob Dylan.
Here we go.
Let's take off the gloves. There's no Christmas camaraderie right now. Let's get into it.
Let me start with the good. Let me start with the positive.
Yes.
The recording of the songs, the production values, as I like to say, are strong. The force is strong with this thing.
Well, he produced it, Jack Snow.
The music is so good. I mean, the music is incredible.
His band is incredible.
Oh, the band is kicking. They're great. The recording. Now, when I hear the vocals, I'm just like, oh, I'm so disappointed. Everything is such at a height of goodness that as soon as I hear his vocals, I'm like, oh, I just wish he had someone else come in and do that for him.
Well, that's kind of why I like it. Part of the charm for me is Bob Dylan singing these songs straight, you know what I mean, like in his own way. That's the charm. That's part of the charm for me.
Gotcha.
At least,
and yeah, that's the charm for me.
That's why it's number 3.
Gotcha. What do you guys think? Do you guys accept the charm? Are you guys indifferent to the charm? What do you think, Adam?
I like having variety in your Christmas selections. You don't want to have all of the same presents under the tree. You want a couple of the different things. And I mean, really, this is the shock of the century that you didn't like Bob Dylan's vocals. I can't believe it. I like having some charm in there. You know what I mean? It's okay.
What about you, Brendan?
All right. I'll say this.
He's a nice guy.
I don't know if he's a nice guy. I think the jury's out on that. But I will say this. I have been in for many a transformation of Dylan and his voice. You guys know I love the Born Again era. Oh Mercy is one of my favorite Dylan records. And there's a lot of records where I'm like, cool, he's really finding his way and he's finding his strength in the current state of his voice. Late Dylan, I really struggle with because I want to focus on the message and the writing because that's always his strong suit. And there's none of that here because it's all Christmas music. So it's really struggle with him it like almost subconsciously trying to be on equal footing as like the legendary crooners that have really owned right. these songs.
Sure.
And he
sure.
is not that, you know, that's not what no. he does. And I think this record for me falls short because it's kind of trying to be that, whether it's set out to be or not.
For him, it's straight, but compared to other, right.
Go ahead, Adam.
Adam.
What do you got?
So Aaron, I see you, you know, with your Bing album or not Bing, your Nat King Cole album. That's something I used to have Bing as one of my options, but Carpenters kicked him out though. But so is it Aaron, do you like, you know, with the Bing, I keep on saying Bing with the Nat King Cole, it's like, you like that traditional feel more than like the modern, although I know Stevie mm-hmm. was your number one, but,
well, I mean, tradition is like relative, right? So
yeah,
for me, like there's like two kind of tradition, like the broader traditional feel, well, the Nat King Cole's or Frank Sinatra. So Frank Sinatra, A Jolly Christmas from Frank Sinatra is like one of my honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, I was thinking also about that Bing Crosby.
Yeah, it's just classic
album, and you know, just those classic, you know, even Andy Williams. I love me some Andy Williams Christmas music. that sort of thing is just like a warm blanket you put on and you're just like, and it's just so awesome, right? But also for me, the traditional is like, is all that Motown Christmas stuff, like all like right. Merry Christmas from the Temptations, like all of that stuff, you know what I mean? So that Stevie Wonder Christmas, the, you know, your pick, or I think it was your pick, the was it your pick?
Jackson?
The Jacksons, yeah, like the yeah. Jacksons, yeah. Supremes, like Temptations, all of that stuff is, and actually one of the things, another thing I was considering is putting on, as an honorable mention, would be the Luther Vandross Christmas album, except for, you know, I love, and that's what I heard growing up, right? So that's like the sentimental mm-hmm. value. And that one song on your album, Very Special Christmas 2, Brandon, mm-hmm. I love that song, and I looked at the album and I was like, that song is amazing, but all the other songs just get way too, like, too much that thing. And so fair. I was like, I gotta pull back. But but I think for me it's just like that, there's like kind of two traditions, like that broader, like, you know, 60s Motown tradition, and then 50s and 40s, and that sort of like, you know, that that movie, It's a Wonderful Life kind of vibe.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of vibe.
So while you brought up the Luther Vandross, this was something that I was thinking of as we were going around with our picks. While the gloves are off, we have many versions of the Christmas song.
Yep.
Amongst us on our list. I just think it would be a good exercise to do a little comparison and a little side by side of these various versions, and perhaps even take a poll of which we like the best. So Luther Vandross was one of them. As you mentioned, we also have...
Look at you, Freddie.
I'm looking. Who else did one?
Well, of course, Nat King Cole.
There's,
come on.
The Nat King
Cole. Right. That, to me, that's the penultimate version. I'm sure Mel Torme did a good version because he wrote the song.
Yeah.
Vince Guaraldi did one too. Vince Guaraldi Trio.
Yep.
They had one.
Right.
Stevie did one.
I think the young Jacksons did.
I think that's right.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got like half a dozen versions of this. So I will happily yield back to Mr. Nat King Cole. I do think that is my favorite version.
Absolutely.
The Luther version is good, but it's a little too late 80s, early 90s for me.
Yes. Marcus Miller's a great book. I mean,
yeah.
Is that guy that wrote The Butt?
That's the Butt guy. That's the Butt guy.
Heretofore known as.
If we keep working with that, it'll stick.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I wanted to throw one little nugget in just on a standalone song that is my wife, Freya's favorite Christmas song. It is the Bing Crosby, David Bowie, Little Drummer Boy. Which is
That's up there.
Nice.
That's a nice standalone right there.
Christmas in New York?
Yeah. Mm. The Pogues.
Folks,
yeah, it's great.
I don't know that song at all.
Yeah,
never heard it. Never heard it.
That's up there for me with I guess what if we were to classify traditional versus non traditional? To me, it's more of a modern non traditional Christmas song.
Yeah,
it's great.
Totally. Yeah, the language. I mean, there's a couple of words in there that are suspect. One in particular.
I wanted to pose this question to the forum because I have always, this is what I always come back to this when I start getting deep into the Christmas thing is what is it about Christmas compared to any other holiday that gets all these songs? And I mean, there's like Thanksgiving, there's a couple, I mean, Adam Sandler and whatever, but like as a joke, but then like Easter, like what is it about Christmas that they get all the holiday songs? There's no other robust collection of holiday songs, non-religiously speaking.
Caroling.
Oh, that's true. You can carol
before
Easter.
And the religious and non-religious kind of.
Oh, yep. There it is.
Together.
It's the
you're going to hear them both on Oldies Radio, which starts playing it right at Thanksgiving and doesn't play anything else until Christmas, until December 26th, which is,
and then it just
drives me mad. Actually,
and it becomes the year in review. Yeah,
I think you're right. That tradition of caroling as a thing, like way before, maybe I don't know. There was like. Before radio and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's probably a good point for it. And because I guess in that religion, the religious thing, it's a big deal. So that's my kind of take on and then also it's a big moneymaker, right? So people are buying gifts and stuff and they're going out and they want to feel, you know, good about spending their money. Right. So let's give them a reason to feel good about dropping all the cash.
And it's a big money maker for the artist / songwriter, because it's every year if you've written or sung a Christmas hit, quote unquote, every year you're getting paid.
You get paid. Ching, like, ching. I don't know the facts on this, but that Mariah Carey album, that probably is her biggest moneymaker. I don't know any of the facts, but like in my head, I'm like,
it's gotta be.
That album is just like, I mean, people are making those records, that everybody's buying her record again or listening to it every single year. Like she releases, you know, a new album and it's like cool for a couple months, but then it's gone and you don't really revisit it. But that album, shucks.
Yep.
Every single year you come back to that album.
That's right. And to say nothing of the touring that would normally take place this time of year. The Letterman era, Darlene Love, every year. I mean, Michael Bublé, I think he's really parlayed an entire career out of I mean, even so far as like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, people love that. Every year they show up for that.
I was gonna mention them. And now they've made a career. They made a career out of Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Yeah, and they have it down pat. Apparently, what they do is they hire locally wherever they're going, as far as like filling out the orchestra. I think it's like a core member of musicians, and then they just have the whole show so streamlined where they show up and they rehearse that day with whoever the orchestra is, and they have all the music and the light cues and everything just like very much efficiently done. So they have it done by now.
What about Mannheim Steamroller? Did they do a Christmas thing? It seems to me it would be that kind of group to do that.
That's actually all I know of them is their Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even so I think thinking about all you guys are saying is like, it really comes down to money. And I'm thinking also about that Motown stuff is like, I bet you Barry Gordy was like, look, we can make a lot of money every single year if we just put out some Christmas albums. You know what I mean? Like
sure he did.
Every year.
It's like consume. And let's consume some tunes.
And it's an interesting thing that happened in the later part of the 20th century with, as you said earlier, I mean, the whole driving force behind this tradition is Christianity. But then people figured out that you could make money if you wrote music that didn't allude to any sort of spirituality whatsoever. And then it became, it's all holiday music. And Freddie, as you mentioned, a lot of great Christmas music was written by non-Christians.
Right.
So it's interesting that like, it's all about that. It's all about that dollar, and especially the consuming and the giving and all of that. It's just a lot of money going back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, the weird part, or not a weird part, but like just going back to that Chieftains album, listening to it, I didn't feel like it was about money. Maybe it's me, or maybe I'm just like out of it or whatever. But when I listened to it, I didn't feel the money grab like I feel with some of the other picks, like even that Stevie Wonder album. Like, I feel, yeah, that's a money grab, but it's cool. It's wonderful. It's my favorite Christmas album, but it's a money grab.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that way with like that Chieftains album. Maybe it's just because it's cultural and I don't understand it or whatever. But
maybe no, it's a fair point. I think it depends on your motivation. Like some of my favorite Christmas music too is done like on a pipe organ, like Royal David City, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Like a lot of the older stuff, because there's a pureness to it, because there's you would like to think there's not a money factor in it.
Yeah. I do want to circle back to one specific album, and that we didn't necessarily talk about that much is the Christmas album by the Jackson Five. And so, Adam, you were kind of mentioning how, like, you know, it's like one of the greatest vocalists ever, kind of
as a kid,
just like doing it. And I would argue that the best vocalist on that album was actually a fella named Jermaine. Specifically, going back to your point, Brendan, probably my number two version of this song, the Christmas song, has Jermaine on the lead vocals there. And then also Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Oh, he crushes that. Yeah. He does.
Jermaine can blow, and he doesn't get his, due. And on that album, those are the songs that I listen to more, except for Give Love on Christmas. That's the best song. But
I mean, let's get serious.
Jermaine is the best. Yes.
overshadowed by that other guy.
Some other guy.
Does he have any solo albums? I think he does. Jermaine.
He has a bunch, but nobody listens to them.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I think he's got them, but I mean, Ben. That's not Ben, you know?
No.
You never heard Let's Get Serious? That song was a hit, man.
I'm a little out of the loop, I guess.
That song was a hit.
Yeah.
You don't remember that? You're too young.
Yeah, no, I was like -9 when that probably came out.
Well, can we just for a minute talk about the correlation between Christmas music and, shall we say, morally dubious characters? Like, just the irony of Phil Spector putting out like one of the coolest and most beautiful Christmas albums ever, and like his name is stamped right on it. And first of all, like, when do you ever have a producer as like the banner name on a record? Like, he made a point to be like, this is my Christmas gift to you.
Yeah
if only putting out such a beautiful record could have some sort of karmic value to it, but I think
it does not.
Well, yeah, you shoot someone in the face, and that's what happens. So, I mean, he was always it is interesting on that front. Yeah, that's also, yeah, just the whole idea. I never thought about it like that. With like you don't really see any other producers jumping out like that.
Well, yeah, now like DJ Khaled or whatever. So it's like Phil Spector, DJ Khaled, and you know,
like Rip Rubin doesn't do that, does he?
No, not his vibe.
Yeah. Timbaland.
Jimmy, I have maybe. I don't know. No, I mean, he's just more of just a presence.
Because he did the very special Christmas ones, and no, his name is not on that cover. And you'd think if anywhere it would be there.
Yeah, that would be the most concerned.
So, you know, we're kinda heading down to the end here, but I just wanted to kind of we took a look at all our lists, and I know some other people picked records that I would have picked first. Is that the same case for any of you guys? Did any of us like pick what you were going to pick? And then, just to fully kind of encapsulate it, is of all these picks, which do you think is the top? I'll go to you, first, Adam.
Oh, great. the least amount of thinking. Well, no, I came in second. That's sometimes when we do these playlists, sometimes getting in there first. I didn't get there first, but I got in second, and I got mine in. So my number one is my true number one, But saying I've always been narrowed to the vinyl, but now, because I do have Bluetooth on my receiver in my music room, I might just throw this current Spotify playlist available on Spotify
on repeat
on a shuffle. Yeah, I just got a nickel. I might just put this. If I just put this playlist on repeat or on not repeat on shuffle and you know, for like Christmas Day and stuff, just let it ride. It's great. It's because our musical acumen combined is pretty fantastic, and we got a nice variety here.
True. It's very diverse. Very diverse.
True.
Freddie, what do you think about kind of what I was saying?
Funny you should mention that, Aaron, because I made sure that the minute that you texted us the playlist, I jumped on it because
I
know some things about Christmas music. It's not something that I would say I'm super knowledgeable about, but those three albums, or two of those three, are definitely, I think, the top two Christmas albums ever made. And I wanted to make sure that I was able to grab them in my list, because otherwise, I don't know what I was going to. I was throw anything up there, you know what I mean? So
okay,
yeah.
Brandon,
so let's go to the third and fourth picks. Yeah, the guys that had to wade through.
Yes, I will say exactly. With all of my Christmas shaking of fist fury. Freddie, you got there first, man, because like I have the green vinyl. I have the piano sheet music of the Charlie Brown Christmas record.
Right,
I love that
record
ever since I was a wee child. And that's my secret number one for sure.
Oh, that's my non-secret number one. I had the vinyl. I've been listening to it like September. I put it on and
Labor Day. Put that sucker on.
here's some hot takes though on that album. My favorite tunes are the Pumpkin Waltz and the Thanksgiving theme. So two non-Christmas songs on that.
I mean, after they hit so well with that one, then you found the other Charlie Brown episodes coming out.
Yeah.
Great pumpkin.
Yeah, absolutely. Overall, my take is the greatest Christmas album of all time is that Vince Guaraldi Trio album.
I think we have, that's a 3 out of 4 resounding endorsement for
Only one that's not is Freddie, I guess, because he doesn't want to put it at number two.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
No, actually I'm Jackson still.
That's a first on the list, is to give somebody a hard time for not ranking something high enough. Yeah,
that's definitely a first.
I hope everyone had a great time listening to us today, giving our favorite Christmas albums. I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas holiday and love each other and give each other hugs and stuff, and eat all the nutmeg and cinnamon you can.
What, the cinnamon challenge?
Everyone eat all the cinnamon challenge and the nutmeg challenge.
Nutmeg challenge.
And you're a hot toddy.
Gonna be spicy.
Yeah. So from The Right Fiction, Freddie, Adam, and Brandon and I, Merry Christmas to you, one and all, and to all.
A good night.
Down, ba 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 da 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 da. Fiction.